Kevin knows what it takes to build a tech sales team. As manager of sales and operations at DigitalOcean, he was charged with building the company's first ever team of outreach sales reps. His insights on building a team are beneficial for anyone, either a tech startup or an established small business alike. You can find him on LinkedIn, where he's built quite the following with his unique and telling Pulse blog posts. In this podcast, Kevin reveals insights on building a strong sales team, tips to find and keep ideal customers, and utilizing social selling in the tech world. Essentially, what's happening is I've known Mark and Manny and Andrew for, I don't even know how we connected. I think they reached out to me a while ago with the success of predictable revenue. Everybody was sort of, wow, this is a really cool channel. I think it would work for our company. They start implementing or assembling it together. They get a little bit of success and then things sort of fall apart, which is, you know, it's the fault of the book because the book made it seem as though there were, it's a magic pill that you could take. And then all of a sudden you start getting all these great referrals. So they reached out to me and we started talking and I started mentoring them. And, you know, it was very clear that the book was great for its time, but it's severely outdated. And then also when you got to further into the pipeline, you started going into the working status and then maybe towards qualification or the Are We a Fit sequence. You really needed to rely on selling skills or at least get an understanding of where you're positioned in the marketplace, why you matter, why people should change, why you, why now, you know? So we started working together and then I realized I needed to write a new book because it was a disservice to all of my clients who were trying to use predictable revenue as a Bible and they called it that, which was kind of scary, but to use that book in order to be able to create an outreach channel and an outbound prospecting system that they could scale or that was consistent and predictable. So fast forward, wrote another book. I'm blessed because it was picked up by McGraw-Hill. And so now they're going to launch it in August. And I thought, okay, well, let's start talking to our people, you know, our people who've been embracing this, trying to get it to work, making it better, you know, and I wanted to hear everybody's story. So I started doing that. And then I realized we should probably put a podcast together. So that's where we're at right now is I'm interviewing people who have embraced the idea, the concept, the framework, the process, whatever it is, but listening to them on how they've adapted it to make it better or how, you know, what pieces of it they thought were just brilliant, what pieces of it did they struggle through, how they overcome those struggles. And so I started interviewing people and I interviewed Mark and then he recommended I speak with you.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, I'm really very honored that Mark would think of me and definitely honored to be speaking with you here as well.
Oh, well, good.
What's the name of the book that you launched? Is it on like Amazon or anything?
It's on Amazon. It's called Predictable Prospecting. It's not a stretch from Predictable Revenue, but it's was picked up by McGraw-Hill. I think that's kind of like the, oh my gosh, it's now a publisher that actually put money into it. Because they believed that this was still a missing hole for a lot of businesses. And we tried to cram it full as much as possible, but can't really do it justice with the written word, you know? So I thought, okay, let's take that book and then let's build an ecosystem around it of people who have either done it, of people who are still working through it, of people who started with predictable revenue and thought there's got to be more to this and actually created the more to it part so that we can share our stories together and, you know, embrace what's working, what's not, why it worked, why it didn't. And for me, predictable prospecting really talks about embracing the content pieces that were missing or absent in predictable revenue, and actually taking a piece of content that we may use for inbound, turning it sideways, and then saying, okay, where is my buyer in his thought process? So I looked back and studied for years the greats of direct response. You know, Eugene Schwartz. I read all of his level of awareness stuff. Drayton Bird, David Ogilvy, Rosser Reeves, all these people who are able to get people to buy product and services and having a cold conversation to do so. And I took those concepts and I brought them into the fold of predictable revenues framework. And it ended up morphing into this 28-step assemble, activate, and optimize framework that is predictable prospecting.
Wow. I love it. I'm definitely going to pre-order it right now. I have my one-click purchase on with Amazon, and I kind of have like what they call, I guess, happy finger or trigger finger, and just been buying a ton of books, really just trying to, I think, you know, part of the reason why Mark might have pointed you in my direction, I try to be very proactive in my learning. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, there's so much content and knowledge out there that one thing you can do as, you know, a young sales leader is be proactive about absorbing all the knowledge from all of the sales leaders out there who have, you know, who have that track record of success and are sharing their stories, whether it's online through a blog or through a book. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it might not be. And like, this is the one thing that I kind of knew going into reading predictable revenue is like, it's not going to be a one size shoe fits all, especially when everyone's trying to use that same sales playbook all the way to the extent where they're calling it a Bible, that it might be outplayed. But I think that there's definitely little nuggets out there and you kind of have to absorb all the knowledge you can and then look at your sales process, your, you know, your addressable market that you're going after and your ideal customer profile, and kind of molding all the best pieces of everything into what's going to work for you. And that's how you become, you know, more successful rather than just copying something from somebody and applying it exactly, because not all markets are all the same and, you know, not all businesses are the same. So you got to have to kind of sell and adapt to your the buyer that presents itself to you. Not someone else.
So tell me, what is the type of business that you're in right now? What do you guys do?
Yeah, so this is a very, very interesting story, because I think that not a lot of people in SaaS and, you know, are very familiar with DigitalOcean. And I think we actually just kind of made a recent name for ourselves in the SaaS space because we sponsored Saster. Which you probably or might have been at, which is the one of the biggest sales conferences in San Francisco, with that's hosted by Jason Lumpkin and, you know, Max with Sales Hacker. Mm-hmm. And so we sponsored that event. We've been picking up a lot of traction because we've built a very, very successful business that's now going up against Amazon Web Services, and you could technically still consider us a startup just with, because we've only been around for, you know, less than or around 4 years.
Okay.
And we've built a very, very successful business off of selling or simplifying the cloud infrastructure experience for developers. Mm-hmm. And so when you take a look at Amazon Web Services, they offer everything and anything that you could imagine about, you know, infrastructure. And what we wanted to do was simplify that and just take a sliver of what they're offering and package it up for the developer market so that way they can deploy their own server or web application in less than a minute.
Wow.
So we're not necessarily in the software as a service space. So if you take a look at the three tiers, you have software as a service, you have platform as a service, and then you have infrastructure as a service, where it's like the bare bones virtual machine. That so every SaaS application is hosted on something like whether it's DigitalOcean or Amazon Web Services, and we're selling it to the developers, and the developers build the applications and they call it SaaS and sell it to the consumer market. So it's been really, really interesting because DigitalOcean has become that unicorn essentially and has had no sales team. Everything's been organic sign up and solely just on product execution that has really trajected our growth to go from, you know, zero to the unicorn status that we are today. And so there's not a lot of companies like that, you know, out in the market. You know, the one that I can really think top of mind that's still doing it that way is Slack. They built a very successful business, not focused on sales whatsoever. It's really just organic sign up and then kind of upselling from there, I believe. Hmm. And so the interesting part is that, so you can think of DigitalOcean as really like B2C, and now we're transitioning, or B2C because we have over 600,000 customers. You know, a lot of that is the developer market, or the individual developers, but we have definitely tons of customers and teams of developers that are now migrating from Amazon Web Services over to DigitalOcean from companies like Salesforce, Zendesk, Docker. And it's just crazy because they're starting to see that DigitalOcean is just as viable a solution as Amazon Web Services. And we've really only been around for a short amount of years. When most people who aren't aware of DigitalOcean think that there's, you know, it's just really AWS or Microsoft or Google. Mm-hmm. So when I heard about the opportunity, it's actually pretty crazy, because I don't know if Mark told you this, but I actually work with my brother, and he's the one who kind of gave me the hard sell to leave Greenhouse, which is the company I was at, and I absolutely loved working at Greenhouse. So if you're not familiar with it, they're the leading applicant tracking system in the space right now that's taking on the kind of some of the legacy players like, you know, Oracle and iSIMS.
Right.
And some other notable ones might be like JobVite or Smart Recruiters or Lever. And they're working with just really, really big companies, and they're growing really fast. And it was tough for me to leave, but when I heard about DigitalOcean and where they've came with no sales team, I knew that it was an opportunity I could not turn down. To be the first salesperson to join that and build that team from scratch was something that I've been wanting to do my entire life. So I wanted to pursue that opportunity. So that's what brought me here today.
That's great. So what, you step in the door and you look around. What's your next step? What did you do first to try to figure out the ideal team that you put together, that you eventually put together? What was step one?
So step one was definitely thinking about or learning about the product. I left Greenhouse just around early December, I would say, before this past winter. And I was supposed to start DigitalOcean on January 4th, but literally that entire 2 weeks, I already had homework assignments technically, so my brother had assigned me some stuff to do. Mm-hmm. So there was definitely no Christmas break for me. It was it was dive right in and make sure that my first day with DigitalOcean did not seem like my first day at all.
Right.
So I spent the first 2 weeks just studying the product day and night, making sure that I could come in on day one and not feel fresh. You know, I wanted to make sure that I knew the product really well, because especially because I didn't have that advantage of moving from one SaaS company to another.
Yeah.
And so I definitely got to give, you know, the leader or the executive team at DigitalOcean props for bringing me on, because it's tough. You know, it's hard to find someone in the infrastructure background, because it's not as easy as like picking, you know, a SaaS sales leader. It's because there's not that many players in the infrastructure space. So they kind of brought me on with my background in SaaS, and I do have that track record there, but I would be foolish to say that that's going to easily translate into infrastructure service, because it just doesn't. So that was my first thing there. I wanted to make sure I understood the product, because by understanding the product and the market you're in, by understanding the ideal customer profile, understanding the customer base, you can start to figure out who that ICP is. And by that, I don't mean ideal customer profile. I'm referring to ideal candidate profile, because you want to make sure that the people you bring on are going to be people that can sell into the developer market. And so I knew that I had a decent sized network, because I also run a meetup for Sales Hacker in New York, where we have over like 100 attendees. And I'd say most SaaS sales reps are very well read. They probably attend, but you know, you're not going to want to hire six of the same types of people that, you know, do really well in SaaS sales, and then just bring them over into an environment like DigitalOcean. So I spent a lot of time, you know, researching, building a really big candidate pipeline, and I probably interviewed over 300 people. And this is me actually looking at the Greenhouse reporting. So we use Greenhouse over here at DigitalOcean as well. I interviewed over 300 people to get to the first six. So I actually spent my first, now I've been here for almost 3 months, I would say I spent my good first month and a half 90% of the time probably sourcing and interviewing. Mm-hmm. Because they originally wanted me to have, I think, 6 people by February 1st, which is, you know, I'm sure you've had a ton of experience probably hiring by now, and it's pretty impossible to hire 6 people in 1 month if you obviously want them to be, you know, the perfect fit, right? You might hire 6 people, but you can easily churn and burn them because they're going to figure out that these weren't the right candidates. Mm-hmm. But I'm very, very confident in the team that I've built. I hired a lot of account executives that, you know, they were the number one AE on their team. So one rep that we have here was the 4th best rep in the company, and they had over 100 plus sales reps. And another person we had was a team lead SDR that was about to get promoted to a manager, but left that company to come to DigitalOcean because, you know, everyone we hire, it's a very, very rigorous interview process, and they believe in the mission, you know, of at least the same reason of why I came to DigitalOcean. You know, mm-hmm. It's not about the money. It's not about the title. It's strictly on opportunity, because if what we do here becomes very successful, you know, then this first 6 is going to be the reason or the future of sales at DigitalOcean. You know, the company will remember the first 6 people that left what they were doing to come on what, you know, a lot of people could say is a little bit of a risky venture, but to build out the sales team for a company that has had no sales is definitely not easy by any means.
I can imagine. I mean, it's just, where do you begin? I mean, if you look at your customer base, I just was having this conversation with one of my colleagues. Do you want to look at your customer base as the foundation for the future, or is your customer base exactly opposite of where you want to go? Like the case study for Salesforce was all about the fact that they wanted to get into the enterprise market. Their client base was more 1 and 2 license type of client, but they wanted to grow into the other market. So how do you juggle that? I mean, what have you thought about, and what is your plan as you think through now? You have these great salespeople. What do you have in mind in terms of the ideal customer going forward?
Yeah, definitely. So I think that one of the things I want to touch up on before we do a deep dive into the answers, I think that I read this really great article from First Round Capital that really resonated with me. And it's something that I hold true to this day. And it says, I might have it backwards, but I'm almost positive that they say, you know, hiring the builder versus hiring the architect. So when I first came in, and this kind of read, because, you know, I really just interviewed with the executive team, and one of the questions is like, you know, what is it about you that I guess essentially makes you have a competitive advantage of people who have more experience than you, or someone that has, you know, experience in infrastructure.
Sure.
And I think that the advantage that I kind of threw out there that I have is I'm always trying to I'm very process oriented. I want to build a predictable and scalable process. And, you know, very similar to the title of, you know, predictable prospecting, predictable revenue. And that kind of resonated with me because in the article or the blog shared by First Round Capital, they said that, you know, you can hire a builder who can go in there and they can get the first couple sales. They're a great individual contributor. They might have, you know, moved up to a manager, but they're not good at setting up the sale for the future. Mm-hmm. And so what I told them was that, you know, where DigitalOcean is today, you can hire someone who can make that sale with the product that you guys have and all that. Sure, they might have infrastructure background. They'll have that advantage over me. But what they're not going to do, and what you're trying to do, is you're trying to build a team very quickly, and you're trying to set up a process and set yourself up for the sale that's going to come 6 months and 12 months down the line. Yeah. And what a lot of companies have done in the past is they try and grow very quickly and just hire that person that they think is perfect on paper, right? They have 20 years of experience. They came from that top company or brand name company that everybody knew. And they start to realize that they built it so fast that they didn't really architect the sales process correctly, and they didn't set themselves up for success 6 months down the line, 12 months down the line. And they were able to crush it in the first 5 months, but everything kind of broke after that 6 month mark. So that's kind of the way I like to look at things. And so the reason why I want to talk about that first is where you look at DigitalOcean, where we are today, is that most of our customer base is, sure, they're kind of spending $5 here and there, which is why we have over 600,000 customers and we're signing up over 1,000 customers each day. But you want to make sure that you're building out a sales process that can help evolve that and turning those into the much larger customers. And a good set of our customer base is actually we have customers that will pay us over six figures a month in infrastructure costs. So those are $1 million deals each year. And so the question that I'm kind of faced with today and my team's faced with is how do we find more of those customers and get them to sign up with DigitalOcean, not go with something like Amazon Web Services. So the upside is that the total addressable market is really kind of wide open for DigitalOcean, and we have all the brand recognition that we need. So one of the interesting things is and why we've become so successful is we have a community team here that does a really great job of helping brand DigitalOcean. One of our core values here, and it sounds cheesy, but it's really true, is love. And we've been able to build a huge customer base by really just caring about the developers that sign up. Our customer success team has had less than 1% churn. And when you're looking at, 600,000 plus customers, that's very, very little people spinning down servers on DigitalOcean. And on top of that, we have a tutorials and community website where we get over 6 million hits a month. And so that's a tutorials website on how to do anything technical and deploy any type of application on not just DigitalOcean's infrastructure, but also Amazon, Microsoft, or Google, or any of the other vendors out there. We really just want to be a resource and kind of the go-to hub of where, if you have a technical question, it's essentially like kind of the Yahoo Answers for technical developers to come find a legitimate tutorial on step-by-step instructions on how to do something.
I love that.
So I think it's pretty awesome, right? It's actually when going back to the question of what did you first do when you first got there, mm-hmm. I was able to kind of teach myself the product by going through our tutorials website, right? Because there wasn't a sales playbook. It wasn't, it wasn't like watching this playbook or this deck or this demo, because when you're selling infrastructure, you don't have a deck or some sort of a user interface. If you like, yes, we have a control panel, but it's not like a SaaS application where it's very robust and you can kind of navigate yourself through the product and teach yourself it, because infrastructure is very, very complex. So you have all these different types of applications or web applications that architect their infrastructure in many, many different ways. And our tutorials website does a phenomenal job of teaching even non-technical people how to understand it at the highest level. So it's really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds great. I think having that open just forum for people establishes more of your credibility, establishes your thought leadership, so that people feel comfortable and trust that if they join your company, that they're going to be in great hands.
Yeah, absolutely. And so kind of going back to your question about, what do we do to reach out to those customers? So we do lots of different testing, whether it's phone, email, social selling, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever the case might be. And the responses back have been phenomenal. And so I think kind of the upside to joining DigitalOcean right now is that, you kind of get the light at the end of the tunnel is kind of the same when you join a Series A seed round company as like the fifth or sixth salesperson, right? You it's going to pay out dividends if you make it, and it's obviously really risky. But the growth that you'll get because you were the fifth or sixth hire when the sales organization is now 100 is second to none. It's going to be amazing. You won't really get that opportunity elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But the branding that we have when we're reaching out to these prospective customers is really, really amazing. Most of them are saying, hey, I really love DigitalOcean. Had you reached out to me 2-3 months ago, I definitely would have went with you guys. I didn't even know that you guys were for production use. I thought you guys were more of like a staging or testing environment. So the way the market's been reacting to us when we've been reaching out to them has been really, really positive. We've set up tons of meeting, closing, and setting up tons of deals that are going to close. So it hasn't really been like, oh, I'm not interested at all. But it's more been like, I love what you guys are doing. I've actually used your tutorials to set up infrastructure on, Amazon or Google. I didn't even know that we could use you guys. So really now it's about like prodding and knocking on doors and saying, hey, DigitalOcean is in fact ready for production use case. We're not just built for developers. We're actually built for larger teams of developers.
Right.
And that's what we're doing today.
And what's nice about the outreach channel is those awareness campaigns to kind of show or get an understanding of where people are in their level of awareness is what predictable prospecting is all about. It's really taking the content you have, taking the messaging you have, and creating the actual touches so that you're spanning across the different levels of awareness. And one of the things we talk about in the book is there are multiple levels of awareness that you've really got to organize your content around so that you can breadcrumb people and gently pull them through to the point where they want to have a conversation with you. And I think that's one of the biggest differences now, that we can leverage a lot of the great content that was built for inbound, knowing that inbound is really only addressing two levels of a five-level awareness ladder. You know, they are generally working with people who are interested because you have now taken the action as an inbound person to fill out a form, to engage with the website, to download a white paper. So there is some level of interest, there's some level of excitement around it. But for outreach, we have to, we have three more levels that we have to write for and deal with. And like you said before, people weren't aware that you did X. So the content with process allows you to touch these people in a way that's authentic, that's respectable, and resonates with them at the level that they're at. And then you can track where they are so that you know when the optimal time is to place that phone call or to nudge, as you said, to get them to the point where, hey, this is something that you'll want to take a look at, and they'll actually be ready to do that.
Absolutely. I think what, you know, what you're talking about kind of is a little bit with just like what account-based selling is saying. I know it's a super hot topic, but it's just kind of selling smarter. It's looking at an account from like a holistic perspective and seeing, you know, taking all those different five pieces that you're talking about and putting them together so that way you're reaching out at the right time and really just trying to make things less cold, which is which is really the right way to do things.
And we take it even, you know, the account-based selling, the word account is account. But what we say is, and I know this this sounds like your culture, is that we take it to the people within the account. Because not everybody is going to be in the same level of awareness from a personal point of view either, the buyers. Now, granted, if you have one or two buyers that you know you're going to always have entering at certain points in the pipeline, then you want to make sure that your content is written for that person at that point in the pipeline for entry. But we really look holistically at the people. Who am I sitting across the table from? When do I first meet them in the sales cycle? Is it early on? Is it mid? Is it late? Where is it? And how can I sort of warm up that chill, meaning that they don't know about me or know how great things can be if they were, as if they were a client of mine? Where are those points in the pipeline that I can insert content and leverage technology so that it drips to them in a way that's meaningful?
Absolutely.
That's what we have now, which is just phenomenal. But you have to sort of, like you said, you have to have that process, not mindset, of mapping out. It almost looks like a transit map, like the Gartner transit map. You know, it's like, where do these people enter? At what level of awareness are they at? What relevant content should we sort of squirrel feed them and breadcrumb them so that we move them along to the point where they're sort of, oh, wait a minute, I need to talk to somebody now. I want to raise my hand and talk to someone. That's the beauty of outreach. You know, that's what we love about this particular channel, is that we're A, we're controlling who it is that we want to talk to, which is what you said on account-based selling. And we're also controlling the conversation of where we're going to be talking to them and at what level we're going to be talking to them.
I 100% agree. So I think that, you know, one thing or one topic that kind of is very similar to what you're discussing right now is like sales and marketing alignment.
Yes.
So with us over at DigitalOcean, we kind of even go one step beyond that. It's like sales and marketing and customer success alignment, making sure that the entire buyer process or as they move along through the journey, that we're hitting them at all the touch points to make sure that we're extracting the most value out of them as possible. Mm-hmm. And so what I mean by that is, like, you always want to get a holistic look into what's going on with an account. So if an account to you is worth $1 million, you know, and there's things that you don't see, you might not get all $1 million. And that's just something that we find unacceptable over here. And so one of the first things that I did when I got here is I met with the director of marketing, also the manager of customer success. And we work very, very closely to get insights into each account. So if, you know, you have, let's say, 5 potential decision makers, because it's a much larger organization, we know which one of those decision makers have ever spun up a what we call a droplet over here, which is a virtual machine at DigitalOcean. Mm-hmm. We know who's interacted with marketing material. We know who to add retarget because they've never interacted with anything. We know who to reach out to because they're interacting with some of our material. So it's a very, very strategic outreach process. And the only way to do that is really by getting yourself involved in the account-based selling process, but also making sure that it's not, you know, very one-sided. You want to make sure that you're aligned on all departments that are involved with this customer or this prospect before they become a customer. So, and that's always going to include sales, marketing, and more often than not, we're seeing now it even includes customer success, because that customer, you're always going to be, you know, they're going to renew at some point. They might add on more licenses. They might, and in our situation, they're going to be scaling their infrastructure. So you want to make sure that there's alignment across the board and you're getting visibility into that.
Not only that, when you have customers onboarded, you're learning how they describe why they chose you, why they went now. And so those, you know, language snippets, those long-term keywords, whatever it is, that when collected in a database can be directly transportable to the top of pipeline conversations. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's an area that I'm sure that you guys, since you're focused on the account itself and you're doing process-based work, will take that language and essentially recreate, modify, iterate the content at the top of the pipeline so that you're reducing the lag of getting people to raise the hand.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful point. I was just trying not to give away all of our secrets, but that's definitely something that's really important and we strive to do here as well.
Yeah, that's great. So tell us what's in store for the next 6 months. How do we follow you and to see, you know, what's going on and where you've grown from here to there?
I think, you can follow me in a few different ways or follow DigitalOcean. We have a huge following on Twitter. But I think if you're trying to get more granular, you're asking about, like, following the sales process and seeing updates on how it's evolved, is I'm starting to do a lot more blogging and talking about the team, where it was I joined on day one, where we're at on, you know, month 6, and where we're going to be at on month 12. I also run a sales hacker meetup in New York where we kind of talk about a lot of this stuff. I'm available on Twitter, and I'm also very, very active on LinkedIn. And if anyone has a question, you know, you can always shoot me a note, and happy to give you more insight onto what's going on over here.
Okay,
but
perfect.
I guess we can always schedule a follow-up call as well and then share.
Yeah, a lot of what I'd like to do, since the book is coming out in August, and there's a conference coming up in June, I think, in New York for Sales Hacker, right?
That's actually, I totally forgot to mention that. but yeah, there's a Sales Hacker. Yeah, Max would kill me if he found out that I forgot to mention that. But yeah, there's an amazing sales conference, Sales Machine. So that's actually going to be, we partnered up with Salesforce. Mm-hmm. So lots of good speakers going to be on there, including guys like Gary Vaynerchuk. And we also have, you know, all the traditional SaaS people are going to be there, like John Barrows, Jill Conrath, a couple other people on there. So definitely want to make it out there. I'm not entirely sure if we're sponsoring the event yet, but if we do, then you'll definitely be able to get some updates on us there.
Perfect. So that's coming up in June 2016. Why don't you give us your Twitter handle so that we have it?
Yeah, definitely. So my Twitter handle is KVN_CHIU. So it's essentially just Kevin_CHIU.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you sharing an exciting journey to walk in the door and start from scratch. I love that.
Definitely. I really appreciate your time and having me on. I really enjoyed this.